Blog Talk Radio.
us how to hold onto the altar. Teach us how to go to the altar, oh God. Teach us how to just get in your face. God, just teach us how to be willing to be used by you and wanting to be. God, when I look at myself and where I used to be, God, I thank you where you have brought me to. I thank you where you have brought me from. I'm not everything I want to be, God, but in your plan, I'm getting where I need to be. God, thank you for perfecting me. I thank you for doing what you have to do in my life. And, God, for anybody else that's looking in and listening, God, let them know that you have no favorites. You do for one that you'll do for other, God. You do for one that you'll do for anybody. If they're asked you, if they're true in spirit, God, you are not a mean God. You're a terrible God. You're a jealous God. But you are the one and only God. God, we just thank you for being the leader of this world. And we're asking every soul to line up with your word. We're asking every soul to want to line up with your word. God, we're asking us to get our schedule out the way so that we may be on your schedule. God, teach us how to be quiet sometime and teach us how to speak up when we need to. Father God, I just thank you for everything that you're doing for me and my family. I thank you for, excuse me, my lineage. I thank you for my bloodline. I thank you for just putting me in a place that the first thing I was taught growing up was, Jesus loved me. God, take us back to the place that this country was built on. For in God we trust. For in God we trust. We will put it back on our lips. We will put it back in our hearts. We will apply it back over our door. We will apply it over the door of our jobs, whether it's physical, visual, or we just walk in there and people see us, they'll say something's different about it because we're going to have the attitude, in God we trust. God, I just say amen, amen, amen. Okay, Mother Montgomery, are you on the
phone? Yes, I am.
Okay. Is there anything you want to start off with before we get into the program?
Well, no, I think I'm just ready to get started and just to thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to speak to the hearts and minds of the people of God. So just to open with a word of prayer and to move forward. So, Lord, we are here to serve your people. We just thank you for this opportunity, God, to feed your sheep. You told me a long time ago, sitting at that kitchen table, to just do my sheep. And so, God, here I am, open to you. Have your way. Lord, word my mouth. Let me decrease so you might increase. That you will be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, and how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I thank God. I was eating before the service. My sister, Apostle-elect, had blessed us a couple of weeks ago. She had bought us some beef short ribs, so I cooked them tonight. And I tell you, I'm doing real good right now. I thank her for them beef short ribs. It looked like the more they cooked, the swoller they got. So, I'm doing good. I was sharing with our audience that we will be starting off with Genesis, the first chapter, verses 27 through 28.
Yeah.
I tell you, so I'm ready to get started.
Okay, so praise God. So we're going to talk about marriage and family. So I'm going to ask the question, when I say marriage, what comes to mind? What do you envision? What do you think about? Wait a minute, I think I can see it. I think I can see it. I see the church or a grand venue somewhere. and a bride. Oh, I mean, she's dressed to the she's that dress enhances her as she walks. It's like the room is full of smoke, and the bridesmaids are all in their dresses, and they all compliment the bride. Then there's flowers and music, and oh, wait a minute, we can't leave out the groom. The groom and his boys, they in the room, you know. They are dressed to the nines. They got the fresh haircut, you know. It's like a scene out of a movie, right?
Yes.
That's what marriage is about, right?
More than that.
Well, I really think that we prepare for marriage and we pay for this big old party and we spend a bunch of money, almost spend a lot of time trying to pay for this vision of marriage.
Yes.
Is that God's vision for marriage? I have often wondered if couples would give the same attention to their actual marriage, would we be facing this enormous numbers of divorces that we have? I'm not even going to talk about the world. I'm going to talk about the church. Would we be in the state that we're in? Would we? I think not. Really want us to think and understand about the purpose behind God's design for marriage and family. And when we do that, we will have the power to have successful marriages and families that operate in God's power.
Yes.
And so I want us, Renee, to really think about what God says about marriage. And Jesus said a lot about marriage. But what I like is that he referred to himself as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. So he envisioned marriage as a part of his kingdom. In Mark 2 and 20, he says, there's a time that will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will have to fast. So they weren't talking about a marriage at that time. They were talking about the church at the time. They were pushing back, and they wanted to know why the disciples were not fasting. And on that day, it was on the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday for them. And Jesus was saying, look, the bridegroom. Why do they fast? They won't fast now. I'm here. We're suffering together. We're together. So it is not time for them to fast because they're with the bridegroom. So giving us the concept that his part of his ministry reflected a marriage. And then think about Jesus' first miracle of his ministry was at a wedding.
Yes.
In John 1 and 2. And it was like it was the third day of the wedding, and his mother requested he address the issue of lack.
Yes.
And he went on to turn that water into wine.
That's it.
Jesus was good. He was about celebration. So I don't want people to think that weddings and marriages are not to be celebrated. They have been celebrated throughout the scripture. But my concern is that we have missed the real purpose of marriage.
That's true.
And family. Those two pieces don't come together. So I see a central theme that runs through the Bible, and it is God uses marriage and family as he promotes his kingdom. So he looks at He uses it. He refers to it. It is part of what God wants for his people. And the world has distorted the purpose of marriage so much and the family, almost to the place that we cannot even recognize what the institution really looked like. What did he create?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take us back to the beginning, before sin, and see what God said about marriage and family.
That's it.
And so to do that, I wanted to really think about how he was transparent. transparent, his transparency during the creation. He created humanity to reflect his triune nature.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to think about that. God was never alone. He has always been in relationship. He has existed in relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've always been together. I want
you to
think about that. And so he wanted to create what he had in his existence for us to have that same experience.
Yes.
So they were always together. So I started to think about that. And the more I thought about it, I thought about Pastor's example. I think he gave, I don't know if it was Sunday or a couple of Sundays ago, when he talked about that the triune God is sort of, looks like a pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
It has three parts, three unique parts. They're always connected. And that made me go to John 17. And and when I went to John 17 and 20, I have to turn to it, y'all. I have to find it. And now I got to find my glasses. Okay, now here we go. And he says here, he says, I pray not only for thee, but also for those who believe in me through their words. May they all be one, check this out, as you, Father, and in me, and I am in you. They were always connected. Jesus was always connected to the Father. Remember, he came to do his Father's business.
Yeah,
he didn't
come
to do Jesus' business. He said, yo, no, that's not what he did. He said, I came to fulfill my Father's business. So what is it that God wants us to do to in marriage and in family to do his business? So when I said that and I thought about it, the Spirit sent me back to Genesis. So, you know, I mentioned this last time, at first mention, where does this first come up? Where does this idea of family and marriage come up? It comes up in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. But I'm going to step back and do 26 first, because I think it's so important for us to see how and why God put these things in order. So in Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creation that crawls on the earth. So in 26, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit are talking. He said that us. He didn't say that me.
So
they were all together. And then not only that, when they talked about it, they gave us form. He said, let us make them in our image according to our likeness. Now think about that.
Yeah.
So God put us to reflect him. He wanted us to look like him. How are we looking? And then not only that, he said, we're going to make them. They're going to look like us. They're going to be like us. And then we're going to give them some work to do because they're going to be like us. That means they're going to have to rule because we rule.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna give them an environment. I'm gonna give them a place to do that. And then I'm gonna give them purpose. And then they are going to be able to use and work in this power. That is part of God's creation for man. He made us to reflect him, them. He made us to reflect them.
Yeah.
So when we go on to Genesis 1 and 27, we say, wait a minute, Mama Tony. You ain't telling me something I don't know. Just hang with me for a little while. Because what I want us to really think about is what God says about marriage and family as compared to what we're seeing today.
Yes.
So God created, and I'm going to use three different versions of this verse. And it's a simple verse. It says God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So that is the NIV. Okay. When I look at that same verse in the King James Version, I have a young lady I mentioned, she sort of makes fun of me because I like the King James Version, all the D's and the dials. But it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, check this out, male and female, he created them. So when he was talking about us creating them in his image and likeness, he was talking about male and female. He defined marriage.
Yes.
I'm gonna read one more. The Amplified Version says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So I want you to get this vision that God is sitting, has created, spent 7 days preparing this environment, and now he comes to the pinnacle of his creation is man.
Yes.
And he doesn't create a man, he creates a male and a female.
Yes.
We create them. So a lot of times when we look at what has happened in families and in just in mankind, men have belittled women and put them in a subservient role. If I want you to really see that God made us equal.
Yes.
Now that's going to be important as we continue. Now, there is order, though. But God made us equal in the sense that he's given us talents, understanding. He has made us mind, soul, and body. He has made us life. So when I go and I look at 27, it gives me the order. It gives me the framework that God created humanity in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I look at Genesis 1 and 28,
okay.
It then gives me purpose. God now blesses them. Now, I want you to check this out. We're going to talk about blessings later as we talk about family. But right now, he says, and God blessed them, looking at the Amplified Version.
Okay.
He blessed them, he spoke, granting them their certain authority. Oh, wait a minute. So God's given us authority? And said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power. And rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God, he blesses. In the NIV, it says God blessed them and said to them. So God, he said some blessing. He spoke it out of his mouth, and he gave us purpose. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. He gave us power.
Yes.
In the King James Version, it says, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
That's what it said.
So God gave purpose to man and women to function as one. We were one in the very beginning because he said he made them, let us make them, and he made them male and female.
Yeah.
That's why we struggle with identity when people want to say that they want to redefine marriage outside of God's rule.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot legislate sin and think that we can move forward as a nation. We in trouble, y'all.
Yes, we are.
We're in trouble. And so I want you to think about what this last version, and this comes from the Message. From the Message, it says, God spoke, starting at 26, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. What's the nature of God?
A nature.
He is body, soul, and spirit. That is, he created us in that image. So they can be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and the cattle. And yes, earth itself and every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. He blessed them. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill the earth. Take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air. For every living thing that moves on the face of the earth, God created humanity to reflect him, his image. God created us in body, soul, and spirit. So the goal for you and I as a people and the family, as a people of God, but the family in particular, is to mirror God in this visual realm and where we are right now.
Okay.
The family unit is to serve as a photo of God himself. Now, we'll go back to my initial question. When you think of marriage, do you think of God? Or do we think of all this other stuff that we have created to put in place of where we should really stop and consider what we should be doing? We should be reflecting God.
Correct.
So I'll ask you the question. I want you to think about this. And of course, this is a rhetorical question because, you know, I like people to talk back to me, but, you know.
That's it.
He says, what does the man or the person look like in your life's mirror? Does it look like God? Oh, God, help us. Does it look like God?
It should look like a God.
It should look like God.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where we are working towards, because there's been a lot of other things that have gotten in the way of
mm-hmm.
God's actual definition of marriage and family. And I say those connected because those are connected. Even though people have children outside of a legal marriage, they create a family. And I want you to think about a family that reflects God, a man, a woman, and children. That reflects God. That is the triune God. That's the reflection of who he is. So he put us in a unit that we would not be by ourselves. And that unit is to represent him.
Yeah.
I have many people that have told me the reason that they left their marriage is because they just weren't not happy. And they would say this comment to me. They would say, you know, I don't think God wants me to be unhappy. And I looked at them and I said, give me scripture for what you just gave me.
Amen.
And many times it becomes difficult because that is not what they want to hear. They want us to join them in their decision of walking
mm-hmm.
outside of God's will. Now, I want to be really clear here. I'm not saying abuse. I'm not saying that you would be in an abusive situation and God will bless that. I don't want to be misunderstood. But many times how we say abuse is that we are just not getting along with that person, and we are not about serving. We are about being served. So this whole idea of marriage comes out of what God created, and it's that he is always serving. They're always serving each other. The Father serves the Son, and the Son sends the Holy Ghost to serve us. And so this is an image of servanthood. That's what the family and the marriage represents.
Okay.
Now, I want you to think about that, because that is the mission that God has given the family. It is to reflect him. It's to carry out his plan. And then all of those plans will give you a byproduct of happiness and a strong family.
Okay.
Many times we struggle because we don't know what we're getting into. We step into something because, well, I'm supposed to get married. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about just representing God. I just, you know, it's the next thing we do. We go to school. We graduate. Some of us go to college. Some of us go get a job. We looking for Mr. Right. And we're not really looking for Mr. Right. We just think we're looking for Mr. Right. And then, or we're looking for Miss Right.
Yeah.
And we're looking for somebody to fulfill this desire in us.
Okay.
Our desire is not what God wants. Our desire is what we want.
We want. Yes.
And it's to fulfill our fleshly desire. Now, that really falls in God's understanding of man, because if we kept reading on, he says, you know, he goes and creates the garden. He takes care of the trees. He puts everything there. He prepares the environment. Remember, Renee and I, we were talking about the environment, how we prepare the environment. We prepare. God prepares the environment. He wants that. That's what he wants for our marriages. That's what he wants for our families. That's what he wants. But, you know, there's some things that we need to really think about. See, God
mm-hmm.
did not create Bridezilla.
Bridezilla.
Yeah, he didn't do that. That's not what God was doing. You know, that whole, you know, or he didn't really create that the ceremony would be more important than the relationship.
Yeah.
That's not what God created. Because it's the relationship God is seeking. It's the relationship he wants us to build. Because that's what he has. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. So he's talking out of a relational bond. That's what he wants. So the wedding has become big business, but it's not sustaining the marriage and family that God has designed. So you see
right.
that we are off, that we have left what God desires for us. So I know that people who are listening, some are single, some are married, and their desire is, singles are desired, they want a mate. I want a mate. I won't be by myself, Lord Jesus. I want it by myself.
Yeah.
Please help me. My daddy used to tell us, he said, might be better for you to go buy you some expensive pants and put them on your bed than be married to some of these jokers out here.
Amen.
George Seaver had a way.
George, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But to think about that idea that a man that you desire to be part of your life, I would like for you to write down all of those characteristics that you want in that spouse. Write down all of those characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, and normally people start off with, I want him, you know, 6'6", with a six pack. You know. They start off with the physical a lot of times. Some might start off with the financial. I want him to be, you know, Daddy Warbucks. I got to have some money.
Yeah.
You know, Ron and I went to a wedding. I know many of you been to weddings and you hear the marriage vows. And this
right.
one marriage, they were saying, they got to the place where it says, the preacher was saying, for richer or poor. And the young girl said, no, just for richer. We ain't doing the poor part in that. We ain't doing that vow. I ain't taking that vow. I meant to ask Ron, is that couple still together? But anyway, this whole idea that it's all about me.
Yeah.
And I want you to write down the characteristics of that spouse. What do you want in that spouse? And when you write that down, I want you to start to write down what are the characteristics of God.
Yeah.
Because in your definition, that or your characteristics, that would help you start to think about God's purpose for marriage. It's going to be for any singles. That's going to be for single men or single women who might be listening. Write down those characteristics. But as you write down those characteristics, I want you to include in those characteristics God-like characteristics. Is this person easy to, not just easy on the eye. Okay, you get that one. We also want that person to be a person that desires to be teachable. We want somebody with a teachable spirit.
Yes.
We want somebody who's a servant, who has a servant's heart. We want someone who wants to work. You know, that's the first thing that you see in the garden is that God put Adam to work. If
yes,
he ain't working, he not spouse material.
Man don't work,
if a man that, I remember my daddy quoting that every day. I was like, Daddy, what you trying to say? Get up, clean something. You know, but those characteristics of a spouse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that's for the female spouse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be able to work. Needs to be able to bring something to the table. To be able to desire to be taught, to seek after the God's own heart. You want to write all those characteristics down.
Mm-hmm.
When you get
That's
those
true.
Characteristics written down, now, married folks, I want you to write down the characteristics too. I want you to write down the characteristics of your spouse.
Yeah.
I want you to write all of those characteristics down. Soft spoken. You know, a listener.
Mm.
Now, if they don't have those characteristics, write them down anyway because I'm getting ready to turn the corner in a minute. Write all of those characteristics down.
Yeah.
You know, long suffering, patience. I said, my husband is God sent because he deals with me. Jesus, how I love you. Ha, ha. Makes you just want to shout sometimes, you know, that he gets to deal. And I want you to really write those characteristics down of your spouse that you're married to and those characteristics that you would like to see in your spouse, those things. I know. You write them all down. Now, I want you to know that there's power in your tongue.
You better say it.
And because there's the power of life and death in your tongue, we are going to start praying. And now, this is when I'm going to turn the corner. You're going to start praying for yourself before you pray for yourself.
That's it.
Because the reflection of God comes from us wanting a desire to be one. Well, we've got to be more God-like ourselves. And to do that, we've got to start praying. Lord, am I woman enough for this characteristic of this man that I have written down here? Am I man enough for this woman that I have written down? All of these characteristics, I want you to start praying for yourself that you will be the reflection of God.
That's it.
That you would look like the Lord. That you would desire to be a servant. Because we have a pastor at our church, it's Pastor Gibson, Pastor G, as my boy. And what he says, I love when he talks about Lady Gloria, who is his wife. He says, I'm going to outserve her.
That sounds
so
good.
I want you to think about marriage in the sense that you are a servant and you're there to outserve your mate. And so that puts a different flavor to marriage. It, to me, it gives us a place where we can start trusting God to make some changes in us, not in our spouse first, but in us.
But you know what, Mother Montgomery, I don't think a lot of people understand what the word serve or servant means.
Okay.
So,
and so,
they've been going to the restaurant so long ordering food, they think everything is on a fast food, on a fast tip. So I don't think they really know what being a servant to the spouse you desire or the spouse you have means.
Yeah. Well, then, when we think about a servant, I'm going to give you the ultimate example, Jesus.
Yes.
He's the ultimate example. He came to do his father's bidding. So that means that I'm going to consider what my husband needs over what I need right now. You say, no, that's not what the world say. World say, no, you are first. Don't you self-care. You got to have all of this first. I'm going to say that you'll get that. But part of being a servant is to have a servant's heart. And that means I'm going to look out for that other person's welfare.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about what they want. And sometimes what they need, but sometimes what they want. I always tell, especially young married ladies, I said, what's your husband's favorite meal? And sometimes they can't tell me. I said, come on now, sister. You got to know your husband's favorite meal. To the husband, I said, what is your wife's favorite meal? What's our favorite flower? See, we need to study our spouse like Satan study. They need to be our study. And then we need to serve them. And to serve them means that we're going to think about them, their welfare first. Jesus thought about his disciples. I was reading over in John 17, and he was thinking about his disciples. He was getting ready to leave and go back to his father, but he was asking his father to keep them. And so they will be one with me as I am one with you. That is marriage.
Okay.
Because it is. He says that we are to become one, two becoming one. It is a unnatural thing. But I want you to think about it. Let's go back before sin. He created, let us create man, and he created them as one. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to go around and say that one more time. He created male and female. He created them as one in the beginning, before sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where we get our purpose. And then he gave us purpose. He told us to rule. Our job is to rule, not to rule over each other, but to rule together over things.
Over the earth,
and sometimes we're fighting the wrong enemy.
Yes.
We're fighting against that person that we need to be unified with. So sometimes we need to shut our mouth and start praying.
Mm.
We don't have to have the last word.
That's it.
Remember that the Bible tells us that life and death is in our tongue. We can start creating in our homes an atmosphere that will glorify God and reflect him in every way.
I'm at the end
of what I have to say. I'm at the end. This is about us being reflective of God. Marriage is God's photograph. It is for us to look like him. It is for us to look like that when it comes to our children. So we need to train them up in the way they should go. You got that, Renee. I got that in the way that we should go. So when we're old, we will not depart. And sometimes we have done some foolish things. I'm not going to lie. If it was all written down in the book, it wouldn't be all pretty. It wouldn't be pretty.
Tell the truth.
But we get to start over. His mercies are new every day.
Good morning. Every day, yes.
Every day. So we serve a God that is so great. If you are struggling in your marriage, and we're not talking about abuse, we're not talking about alcohol abuse, we're not talking about drug abuse, we're not talking about physical or mental abuse. That's a whole nother ballgame. We're talking about you being in a marriage with a person, and sometimes y'all don't agree. My mom used to say to me, your tongue and your teeth don't always agree. You don't throw your tongue out. Let that sink in. It's going to hit you in a minute. Okay.
Don't throw your tongue out.
You don't throw it out. You don't drag it out because you bit your tongue, you know, or you don't throw away your teeth because you bit your tongue. You have to endure. You endure some pains in marriage. And many times it is about us. God, I was talking to some young ladies earlier this evening, and one of the young ladies is going through a very tough time, an abusive situation. But she said, the more I talked about my husband, the Lord put me on my knees. I said, isn't that amazing how God will do that?
Yeah.
I will remember when I was struggling and first got saved, but my husband and I were not on the same, we were not equally yoked at the time. And I would tell God about him. I was crying. And the Lord said, but I want you, sister. I want you fasting and praying. I want you on your knees. I got him. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your soul.
Yes.
I want you sold out. And when I can get you, I got him. Don't worry about him. I want you. So that's what God wants. God wants us. He wants us to be reflective of who he is.
Yes.
And so I want you to think about that question I asked earlier. If you were looking in a mirror, what do you look like? What does your life look like in that mirror? Does it reflect God? That's where we start with marriage and family. We start with looking like God. Pray for me.
Amen. I thank you so much for all that you spoke on tonight, because, like you say, in the 27th verse, it say he created male and female. So God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God created Adam and Eve, not Eve and Yvette, at the same. I thank God for a lot of times we don't want to say nothing because we don't want to offend nobody. But don't get mad at me for what I just said. It's in the Bible. It ain't somewhere in the Bible. It's in the first chapter of the Bible. And he started off teaching us he made man. And the first part, I think it was around the earlier parts of the chapter, and then he came on back before the first chapter end and remind us that he created Adam and Eve. You know, and I thank God because when you was talking about putting a list together, what do you want from your spouse? Yes, we all want somebody handsome, fine, shapely, or built. But my mom always taught me, she say, don't keep looking on the outside because if you look at yourself, them looks going to pass away. You better look for a provider. You better look for a protector. You better look for someone that's going to love you when you're 32, 24, ain't that no more. You better look for somebody that's going to say, even when I look at you now, I still see that young girl that I fell in love with then. They don't mind taking they don't mind rubbing your back. They don't mind loving on you. They don't mind still being that man in your corner. You know, all I'm saying is I just want to be in a place, like I said, we talked in the earlier part of the week, and I said, Mother Montgomery, I don't want you to just say something, say kind of like, I want you to say something even if it's correction in me, because that's telling me to be in a place that if the man or the woman that you desire, but the man I desire is not in that place, you're even giving us instruction on how to get them in that place, because a lot of times we don't even want to acknowledge that we need God in the situation. I'm just happy with what God is doing with us. I don't want to leave this thing alone because it's even the month of January. But we talking about the marriage, but we haven't got to the other part of promise. When he said what to do when we rule over, when he talks about the family. So if you're still willing to go with me next month, we could still talk about the marriage, but the marriage when the family, what the job of the wife is with the children and the job of the father is with the children and the job of the mother and the father together on one page when it comes to raising the children.
Okay. So we will talk about that. Amen. So that will be we continue our conversation and looking into the word as we talk about the family, the roles of the father and the mother and the children.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is we're going to end this conversation because the hour is almost over. We're going to end it on Facebook, but on Blog Talk, we're going to go back to Blog Talk in a moment. So on Facebook, I would like to just say thank you all for joining in. Myself and Mother Toni Montgomery, we will be here the first and third Fridays of every month. Next week, next Friday is the fifth Friday. I don't know if I'll be back to minister, but if I do, if Prophet Antoine don't want to do it, I'm going to touch on some of the things we talked on tonight because it's something I need as well as you need. But don't forget, we're here every Monday night on Facebook Live and Blog Talk. This Monday coming up will be, what is it, the fourth Monday? No, the fourth Monday.
This is the fourth Monday.
Okay, I'm sorry. This Friday coming up will be the fifth Friday. That is Prophet Antoine. The first Monday of this next week will be February the 1st. Mm-hmm. And that will be Dr. Serena Wright. She will be our speaker on Blog Talk. I'm sure Facebook Live also. That's at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That will be that Monday. So please join us. Please join us this Friday for Prophet Antoine Thomas or myself, Minister Sylvie Kaiser. So Facebook, we're going to say goodnight. Blog Talk, I'm going to ask you to hold on and get ready to speak into the woman of God's life on the night for blessing us and just sharing with her. Blog Talk, you can go on and talk if you want to. The lines are open. Facebook, good night.
I'm going to have to learn how to do the Facebook thingy one day. I don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah, if you ever go on Facebook, all you have to do is just tune in to my page, and when I see that you're watching, it'll ask me to bring you on camera, and then I will push it, and you will be on camera at the same time.
Okay.
So I'll be doing Facebook and Blog Talk at the same time.
Okay.
So if anybody on Blog Talk would like to speak into the woman of God's life on tonight, please do so.
Good evening, Minister Sylvia, and good evening, Mother Tony. This is Carmita.
Yes, Carmita.
Oh, I thought this was awesome, Tony. Very awesome. Marriage and what we envision, and it's normally usually the wrong thing. Because, like you said, we spend our money on earthly joys, our dresses that cost too much, the bridesmaids, and we're thinking about all of the frills, but nobody is thinking about God. And you also made a point that stuck with me. The purpose behind God's design for marriage is God as the groom. God is the groom and church as the bride.
Yes.
And as the bride, as you were talking, Ephesians 5, where Paul is talking to the Ephesians, and he was telling them the same thing that you just said. God designed marriage to be a typological pattern, which is Christ's relationship to the church. And when he says, for the husband is ahead of his wife, even as Christ is ahead of the church. But see, people, when they get married, and you also mentioned about unevenly yoked, people are so busy envisioning the type of man that they want. Some want the type of man that their father was. Some want them, even Denzel Washington. Some want Denzel. But see, the only man you should be comparing your husband to, the only father, is God. That's the kind of man that you want, because he also says, Genesis 24, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So now if you go into that thought, and you touched on that as well, if you go into a union with that in mind, and you have the confidence that this is God's will and you're not unevenly yoked, then you've got a good start. But both of you have to be grounded in the spiritual. It's a union, not only a physical but spiritual as well. So you have to be, God has to be in the mix. He has to be in the mix. And what I really liked was when you said that men and women are equal. Because, you know, you sometimes people get it a little twisted when they read that. We are a helpmeet, yes, but God made man because of, in his image, because of his strength. God made woman in his image because of the beauty, the tenderness, you know. So the two of them make the whole image of God. So we are actually equal partners in this in the situation. But and I got so many little notes here. Unfortunately, I'm not married, but this was awesome, Tony. I really enjoyed it. It was an eye-opener. Eye-opener, yes. And another thing that came to mind is I should have had this information 20 years ago. Yes, ma'am. Very good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yes.
Thank you. Praise God.
You say 20 years ago.
Yes, ma'am. 20. Huh? I should have had all this 20 years ago. Yes.
Good evening. Is there time for another comment?
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Hi, this is Ron Montgomery. I'm the other half of Tony.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
And I just want to thank my wife for just being so godly in her presentation tonight and for being so nice to me. and not dwelling on that part of our marriage where we weren't very evenly yoked. I got to work on it as quick as possible, though. One thing that I learned, Tony talked about, you know, women making a list of what they think their dream man would be like, what they want him to be, and that kind of thing. Well, fellas do the same thing. But the part that we leave out is this. After we've drawn that exhaustive list, and I tell you what, God better be on that list. You better start with God.
Amen.
After we've drawn up that list, you don't have to go out and look for that woman. What you do is you look at the list of all those things that you want from a woman, and then you go out and you start doing the things that make you become worthy of such a woman. So the man has to take it upon himself to be worthy of this person of perfection that he's looking for. And she will be naturally drawn to him. That's one of those things that you just have to understand. And men have to go that extra mile in that sense.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that, Brother Ron. Is there anyone else who would like to speak into the woman of God's life, Mother Montgomery?
Well, I would like to, but somebody needs to go on mute, I think. We've got a lot of noise going on. It's hard to hear what's being said. This is Minister Margot, and I'd just like to say good evening to both Minister Sylvia and to Missionary Tony. The program was very much as Carmita spoke about being eye-opening and to help us to look at the fact that what really stuck with me is, you know, you talk about that list, but looking at that list that we want as we look at this perfect mate and look at the characteristics that we're talking about and seeing if we look in the mirror, do we see them in ourselves? Do we see those characteristics that we are holding so high? Are they there?
Mm-hmm.
Are they inside of us? And the whole issue of being a servant, that was just beautiful because we are, you know, maybe not as focused on that part of it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm here to help, but it's more than help.
Yeah.
To serve someone, it's a different kind of attitude behind that.
Come on.
True. You know, it's a different kind of attitude. It's a kind of heart. It's a heart attitude. To really be in service of someone, to do it from your heart. Wow. So much work to be done. Even after 40-plus years. I'm learning that there's still more work to be done. And thank you so much, Missionary Tony, for those pearls of wisdom. And we look forward to hearing even more from you on this very important issue. Thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. Thank you.
Thank
you
so much. Is there anyone
else? Hey, man,
this
is Cecilia. I just wanted to say thank you so much once again to Missionary Montgomery. I was thinking of there was two pastors in my past that actually asked me to write down a list of the things that I expected and the things that I wanted and what I wanted to give. And one of them was Pastor Fred, who was Apostle Sandra Thomas's husband.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the counseling session, he said, you're looking for Christ. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He says, well, I don't think you're going to find Christ. I said, well, then, Pastor, I'm going to keep on looking. And it just blessed me because to hear someone else say that, but then I had someone else that said, well, you're going to have to bring your standards down. And I said, well, I guess I just won't be getting married. So I thank you for teaching the very thing that Apostle Sandra and Pastor Fred actually foundationally taught us. And it was just a matter of how many people actually wrote it down and stuck to it, or they settled, because I have a friend that settled, and now she has a smacker and a hitter. And it's like, okay, well, you settled. And so because you settled, and so like you said, you just end up with things that you don't want when you settle for those things that you prayed and asked God for various reasons. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Praise God.
Mother Tony, maybe she should have did like you said, Uncle Joyce said. Maybe she should have just bought some extension pants.
Put them on the bed.
maybe she should have did that. I really enjoyed tonight's program. I really did, because, like I said, it was a lot for me, not to just take in, but a lot for me to meditate on and just thank God for it, and just say, God, I just thank you for following your instructions with asking the woman of God to do this for me, because just to hear, like Camila say, I needed this 20 years ago. Just to hear that at this day and time and at this age, somebody is being helped.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we don't know. Because like you said, the world is telling us what to look for. But, you know, we was growing up, we were told to look for a godly man.
Yeah.
A man that loved God, because if he loved God, he would love us. We were taught that. But that's not what's being taught now. It's all about the presence and the dress and the shoes and the nails and the, I call them the fans. They're not lashes. The fans they're putting on their eyes. And it's all about that. So I just want to say, God, I just thank you for the teaching on tonight. Just everything. I thank you for you all. Please tune in next month, because we're going to go a little farther, because he didn't just start with just marriage. He started with marriage and gave us instructions after having dominion over. He told us about replenishing. What do we do when we go about replenishing the earth?
Yeah.
So I just, again, say thank you. I want to ask, is there anyone else that would like to say something at this time?
Oh, I just had one other point. This is Margo again, and that came out in that a message reading of the verse in Genesis that talked about the fact that man was responsible for the earth. And it made me think about the fact that we haven't looked at our environment. We haven't looked after the environment. And from the very beginning, God was saying, you're supposed to do that. That's part of your job. Over, and I guess maybe just to bring it back even to our homes, that we are responsible. As a couple, you're responsible for setting the atmosphere in your home. You're responsible for that. You're responsible for making sure that it is clean, that it is just clean spiritually as well, between the two of you, and that, oh Lord, that's where the work starts.
Oh yeah,
and continue. So thank you much for that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Minister Margo. After all of the comments I've heard on tonight, it is this marriage situation is not what we thought it was. It's deep. It's real deep. Because a lot of times we don't understand the better or worse. We got the better. Mm. We don't know the worse.
Get the worse. Come on.
You know, we don't know the 'cause you made me mad. Just 'cause you made me mad, there shouldn't be a reason to step outside the marriage. There shouldn't be a reason to go outside the door. I want a divorce. That shouldn't be a reason. That's a reason for us to even pray the more.
That's right. Amen.
Pray the more and say, God, why did that bother me so right there when I said to you and before other people, I said I loved him or I loved her. Just this month I have learned so much that all I can say is I'm looking for more to learn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for more to learn because when I come home from work, once I leave out of my job, I don't want to come home and have to work some more just to feel comfortable at home.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I said that the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go to work to get to have a good day.
Amen.
Really?
That right there, right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, also, too, to take it a little further than Minister Margo, we need to understand that the Christian marriage is to be a powerful witness to a selfish and dark world. See?
Yes.
Yeah.
God's power through this marriage, God ordained this marriage. He had a purpose in mind when he created marriage. So we need to prove and be witness to what he created.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
We just go on and on and on and on.
I know. This is
like I say, God,
beautiful.
Glory. I thank him for that. You all please tune in. The next Monday is the first Monday, that would be
Monday.
Dr. Serena Wright, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in next Friday. This coming up Friday is Prophet Antoine Thomas or myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, we have a Sunday morning program at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with our very own Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. I'm excited with what God has this ministry doing, the direction he has this ministry going into. I am excited with what he's doing with all the men and women of God on this ministry. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. With that being said, the prayer I will have for tonight is, I pray that something was said that would touch your heart, that would just penetrate your heart, that you would seek God even the more, to ask him for that man or that woman of God to be your spouse and ask him to teach you how to be that man or woman of God for someone else you're already married to. God, I thank you for restoring. I thank you for reconnection, and I thank you for instruction. As we sleep tonight, I ask God to give us rest and peace as we sleep alone and let his word meditate in our heart and our mind, that we will wake up full of joy and full of God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I say amen, amen, and God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.